Morning. Welcome to Northfield Baptist Church for Sunday school and adult Bible class this morning. Let us turn in our hymn book as we worship the Lord, for He is so good to us. Let's sing His praises. Number one. Number four, when morning gilds the sky. Number four. Number four. When morning gilds the skies, my heart awakens. No? Alright, how about My Faith Has Found a Resting Place? My faith has found a resting place. Okay, number one, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place. In Device Nor Creed, yes. G, one sharp. Number one, let's all stand together as we sing this song. My faith has found a resting place, not in me, my sore grief. I trust the ever-living one, His own for me shall please. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. Enough for me that Jesus is, and my fear and doubt. A sinful soul I come to Him, He'll never cast me out. I need no other argument, I need with that song.
Amen.
Your faith has found a resting place in Jesus Christ the Lord and His Word and His promises, and so we need no other device or creed. Sadly, many people, all they do is follow creeds and whatever the priest says or whatever the Pope says or whatever this bishop says or that person, but thank God our faith does not rest in one person, or in what one man says. Our faith rests in God and His Word and Jesus Christ our Lord. What a wonderful thing. Our faith has found a resting place. Let us bow together in prayer this morning. It's good to see each one out, and so thankful that two vans are in, and Pastor Logan is how are you feeling this week, Pastor?
A little better.
Amen. Amen. We keep praying for him. We've been praying consistently for his strength and health, and God is raising him back up. We're so thankful to see answered prayer. And also for Sister Patty coming out. That's a blessing right there. Now pray for her. She has these five, are they smaller spots, Patty? Is that what they're saying? Okay. 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 All right. So let's pray for those five small spots, relatively newer. That's a good sign that the old stuff is all gone, and we'll keep praying for that. Yes. Wow. Okay. Wow. Oh, wow. That's wonderful. Yeah. Yes, let's keep praying for her. Yes, Jimmy. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Good. God answers prayer. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of being together in church this morning. We thank you that we can sing your praises, that Jesus Christ is our resting place and that we need no other creed. And we thank you for that. We praise you. We give you thanks for answers to prayer. We think of Pastor Logan being back with us, Lord. We missed him very much. And we're glad that you're strengthening him, raising him back up, Lord, little bit by little bit. And we pray that you would just be with anyone else who's not feeling well today. Think of Patty, Lord, as she goes for her chemo treatments very soon, Lord, this Monday perhaps, that you would just give the doctors guidance, strength, and wisdom to know exactly what spots to target as they have, and also that all this cancer would be completely eradicated for your honor and glory. And I thank you that the old cancer is not there, that inside. We thank you so much for your healing touch there. Pray you continue to bring her through. We pray you'd be with Brother Danny and Sister Hannah as they leave on Tuesday. We will miss them greatly for all that they've done here at Northfield Baptist for you. We thank you and we praise you for sending them to us at just the right time and just the right need, and we thank you that they have been faithful servants of yours. And then now we have another couple coming in that wants to take their place. Lord, we thank you for just that answered prayer as well, that you add in what we need when we need it. And we pray you just be with each one. We pray for the services today, that you'd bless the preaching and bless your words that goes forth. In Jesus' name, amen. You may stay standing for our pledges. Pledge leaders, come on up. Give us a hand as we okay, go ahead. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again, with life and liberty to all who believe. Someone hold up a Bible for us. You got Paul, you want to hold this? Yeah. Oh, she's got one? Okay, great.
Mention Bible for us.
I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Thank you. You may be seated. This time we'll have our Sunday school offering as we give to God of our tithes and offerings this morning. That we are so thankful that, as it says in the Bible, in Psalms, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard me and delivered me from all my fears. That sometimes one of our fears is we're not going to have enough money or not enough food, but we're always thankful that God, we pray to God and He provides all our needs. We'll ask our ushers to come. He provides all of our needs and He never leaves us high and dry or hanging. That and if you have a need, you know, let us know, and God always provides those needs. Let us bow together in prayer as we give to God this morning. Paul, why don't you raise him? Amen. Okay, let's sing our kids' song this morning. It's good news, Christ died for me. Good news, if I believe. Good news, I'm saved eternally. That's wonderful. Extra, and when we get to the extra part, you have to shout it out nice and loud, okay? So shout that out. So let's give it a try. We sing this with the Good News Club at school, and they love it. And I'm going to preach a funeral tomorrow, tomorrow, 5:45 at Adams Perfect Funeral Home for Terry Hutchison. He passed away Saturday. Thursday night, and then I went to see his mom on Friday. And so pray for the family. That he was about 50 something, but praise the Lord, he got saved. His family's staunch Catholics, and some of them definitely need the Lord. So let us pray. I think most of them. So pray that as I preach the gospel, that many will hear and be saved for the good news. Let's sing it out. Good news, Christ died for me. Good news, if I believe. Good news, I'm saved eternally. That's wonderful.
Extra.
Good news, good. Second verse. Reads like a newspaper. If you see all the fine print, it says, the Lord is on our side. It has all kinds of verses. Very nice. Second verse. Good news, Christ lives for me. Good news, he prays for me. His word tells that he'll come again for me. That's wonderful.
Extra!
Good news. Amen. How many are thankful? He's coming again for you. Amen. All right. This time we'll dismiss our... Do we have any birthdays or anniversaries? Any birthdays or anniversaries this week? Or any that we missed? No? Okay. Yes, wait. When's Mommy's birthday? The 20th, and... It's coming close. 11th, so she's next week, but very close. Okay, Patty?
I got a text from
John
today. He says he's feeling better.
Good.
He thinks
he's going to be
there another day.
Yeah.
He said he was getting ready for church, and I said, what?
Internet church, there you go. Getting ready, putting the. Yes, so let's pray. Pray for John Watkins, and pray for our staff here as they get our church ready each week with the camera and audio, and so because people do listen to that. All right, this time we'll dismiss to our Sunday school classes at this time, and brother. Daniel, he said he will teach the teens this morning, but let's see. Pastor Logan, are you up for teaching the teens next Sunday? Okay. Oh, you won't be here. That's right. You're going down for the reunion, right? Okay. All right. We'll miss you, and drive safely. Virginia? Okay. All right. So let's pray for Pastor Logan. He'll be gone next week. And next week we have a missionary, Jed Duarte and his wife and child going to Brazil. All right, let us this time turn our Bibles and take some prayer requests. We're looking at the wonderful contributions that the Lord has made in our life and how we can then encourage others. So that's what we've been looking at lately. Any prayer requests? Besides the ones that were mentioned already, Patty, and you start when, Patty? She starts. Does anybody know? All right, I think it's this Monday. Yes, Jimmy?
My 30-step nephews still aren't talking to their mom. And here I found out it's because their mom got remarried to my brother, and they don't like my brother too much.
Hmm. Okay. Let's pray for Jimmy's step nephews. Yes.
Eric. I pray for everybody, just my sister and Hannah and the church people, our friends, and pray for me and y'all, and pray for all my brothers and my nieces.
Okay. You said your brother passed away recently?
Yeah, Don.
Don? Did they have the funeral for him yet?
Well, they had it already.
Okay.
But I couldn't make it though.
Where was it?
It was on the Saturday.
Where was it?
I don't know where it was.
Okay.
My sister was on vacation.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't even make it.
Oh, that's sad.
That
Well, the Lord, He'll comfort you. He'll comfort you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Anyone else? James.
Mike is in a nursing home, but he's getting better.
Okay.
And Rudy's sister, one of Rudy's sisters, she had her right.
Okay. Okay. All right, Hannah.
And for Tyler and Sonny,
yes.
Marty and our church is back.
Yes, Carol did have another ultrasound yesterday. She found out that there's two blood clots now. It's not just one, it's two. And so pray that one of them, that they don't move and that they dissipate. She's going for another ultrasound on Monday. So pray for this other ultrasound Monday. And thanks to all those who have been watching Roy while she's been going into the doctors. Everyone's taking their turns. We appreciate that. Anyone else? Prayer request. Yes.
And
Daniel and Hannah, as they fly out on Tuesday from LaGuardia, I'll be taking them up in the afternoon. So pray for that flight. Yes, Jimmy.
One of my step nephews' girlfriends at the wedding didn't look too good, and I heard recently she had to be put in the hospital.
Okay. Anyone else?
And I want to read. The Lord going to show me how to read.
Okay.
And I'm going to take time for
Essie. Okay. All right, anyone else? Pat and Karen, how did their flight go yesterday?
I haven't heard. I think they had a late break.
So yeah, if they left in the morning, they still wouldn't get there until. Yeah, the Miami transfer especially. So let's pray for Pat and Karen that they hopefully are safe and sound there in Barbados now. But we'll be in touch with them. Yes, Pastor Logan. All right, anyone else? Pray for the funeral that I preach tomorrow. For Terry Hutchinson's funeral. Pray for the Hutchinson family that many, as I said, many are not saved. So pray Jerry and Mimi, they're the new couple that's been coming that are going to be joining our church. They shared that with us on Friday, but they said that there's quite a few in the family, and so should be well attended, and pray for the viewing, and pray as I only get 15 minutes. That's the only thing. So I have to preach the gospel, everything in 15 minutes. So it's going to be, it's okay. Well, that's the good news. Now, if we were a works-based religion, you couldn't do it. You know, you just have to say, oh, we'll keep working and working. But thankfully, we have the simple plan of salvation right in our gospel gun, and it's ready to be given at any time. So let's pray for the funeral. And so Jerry and Mimi, they're real excited about it, and they were so excited he came over personally to our house and shared how he was so glad. And he said they're going away. They'll be here today, but they're going away next Sunday to Virginia. And then after that, they said they wanted to join the church, and they'll be here every service. That's the way they've always been, and that's the way they want to make it. You know, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. So that's just a huge answer to prayer. She plays the piano, and Jerry sings. So it's a good thing. So the Lord knows. The Lord knows what we need when we need it, and He's in supply. Yes, we already have them down there. Yep. All right, let us go to prayer at this time. Does anybody else want to help me pray? All right, Wellington, do you have some of these? Okay, all right, go ahead.
Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of prayer. Come to you, Lord, with our needs and our burdens.
Amen. 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 Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you as we continue in prayer. We thank you that you're healing Sister Carol's knee. It's getting better. Lord, we pray you just continue to heal her with these two blood clots. They would dissipate fully. Pray for Roy, and we thank you that he's doing okay right now. We pray for Daniel and Hannah as they fly out. We pray you keep them safe on Tuesday. We pray for Brother Watkins that you continue to heal him, bring him out of the hospital soon, as we are able to get to visit him this week to encourage him, Lord, and we thank you that he is staying close to you. We pray for Patty and her chemo tomorrow, Lord. We pray you just put your healing hands upon her and that this would fully eradicate the cancer. And we pray you'd be with Jimmy's and step-nephews as they're not talking to their mom. Lord, we pray that you would just help this to heal and mend with the gospel, that the Christian would give them the gospel, that they could be saved and that they could know the true reason for living. And we pray for Hannah's, or for Eric's brother, and the loss of his brother Don. We pray for the whole family. We pray you'd be with his sister, and the other family members, that you just comfort them in the loss of Eric's brother. Pray for his staff as well. We pray for Mike in the nursing home. We pray for Rudy's sister with her hurt leg. We pray for step-nephew's girlfriend that didn't look good. Lord, we pray just heal her. We pray for their spiritual needs. If any of these are not saved, that they would trust Christ as Savior very soon. We pray for Essie and her family. Bless them. And we pray also for Pat and Karen as they flew down yesterday to Barbados. We pray that they are there safely and that you give them the rest, the recuperation they need, and that they can worship you. And pray you just meet their needs each day as they with each step of the way. We pray for Regina with her sickness or whatever is causing her to miss. Lord, we pray you just put your healing hands upon her. We thank you that she was out these last two Wednesdays at Atlantic, but we pray you'd just continue to raise her up and whatever her needs are. We pray for the Hutchison family and the loss of Terry. We pray you'd comfort them. And most importantly, that any that aren't saved would trust Christ as Savior in the service tomorrow, Lord, and that they would realize that we cannot work our way to heaven because we are spiritually bankrupt, spiritually depraved, and we need Jesus as our Savior. And I pray you just bless now this time in the Sunday school adult class and bless the morning service with Brother Daniel delivers the message. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let us turn in our Bibles as we finish our study. We're looking at serving gifts and speaking gifts, and there's so many things as we look at these different ways that we can serve the Lord and be an encouragement to others. We looked at helps last week. We looked at governments, the manager, the ruler, so to speak. Now then we see the sign gifts. The sign gifts were accompanied the communication of the Word of God by some miraculous act, and these sign gifts were given by God to validate the gospel message. 1 Corinthians 14:22. Let's go over there. 1 Corinthians 14:22. They had a very real purpose to validate the gospel message. Unfortunately, they are still being used today by so many Christians, by so many churches that think that some of these sign gifts are still for today, and it's causing a great deal of confusion and a lot of confusion, we could say. 1 Corinthians 14:22. Who has that one? Okay, Wellington.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Okay, so what is for a sign here? What is for a sign? Yes, tongues. Tongues are for a sign. Okay, do we still need to give signs today? No, the signs were needed for who? Especially who's looking for a sign, as it says in 1 Corinthians 1. Which group of people? Yeah, the Jews especially. The Jews are looking for a sign. Okay, well, God gave them the sign gifts. He gave them tongues. He gave them, why? So they could see that Jesus is the Christ and that they are needed. So tongues were for a sign, but what is not for a sign? What is the next gift that's not for a sign? Or not really, it's not even a gift. It's a function of the local church. Prophesying. That's, now it's not future prophesying, it's just the present prophesying of the Bible, given the Word of God. Preaching, you call it preaching. But preaching serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Okay, so what is the function of the preaching of the Word of God? It's to edify the brethren. Okay, and so once people get saved, we all need, as Christians, the preaching of the Word of God. And it's not for a sign, this is a permanent function of the local church until Jesus comes back. We need preaching. Why? Because we are prone to wander and sin and go or doubt or you fill in the blank. Our sin nature will try to take us any which way, and so we need to be preached to. And so the sign gifts were given by God to validate the gospel message and authenticate the messenger. They include healing, tongues, interpretation of tongues, wisdom, and discernment. Though tongues and their interpretation may be viewed by some as speaking gifts, Paul indicated they are to serve as signs. 1 Corinthians 14:22. To unbelieving Jews, so they might know and believe that the spokesmen were from God, and that the word they spoke was authoritative for faith and practice. The scripture indicates that the sign gifts were temporary in nature and they would fade out. 1 Corinthians 13:8. Let's go over there. 1 Corinthians 13:8. Okay, why don't we speak in tongues today? Well, 1 Corinthians 13:8 answers that question. You're not going to hear someone in the church get up and start speaking some kind of language. You know, if Hannah got up and speak German, and she was getting some message from God, it's not going to happen. She's not going to get a message from God in German, and it's not going to. We have everything we need right in the Word of God, as it says, all things that pertain unto life and godliness are in the Word of God. Okay, who has 13:8? Okay, so what is going to fail or stop, according to this verse? Tongues going to cease. What else? Prophecies. Notice there's a difference between prophesying, which is preaching, and prophecies. What's a prophecy? It's a specific future. It's a future message, a message about the future God wants us to have now. It's a full, an upcoming future fulfillment. Well, we don't have any of those anymore, so notice prophecies shall fail, but not prophesying, which is preaching. Okay, that's it's just prophecies. Okay, the preaching of the word is always going to be needed in the local church. Okay, then what's the last one that's going to go away? Knowledge. What kind of knowledge is that talking about there? Knowledge outside of the Word of God. In Corinthians here, they were about 55 A.D., so they didn't have Revelation yet. They didn't have 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. They didn't have Hebrews. They didn't have some of the other ones. So they didn't have a lot of the New Testament yet written down. They had some of the Gospels, etc., most of the Gospels. So they still were missing quite a few important key doctrines for the local church. So what was the Lord giving them? Well, at the time, He was giving them special knowledge. Someone would give them, say, hey, I just received this from the Lord, the Apostle Paul. And here's what God said, you know. And so that was the special knowledge that they needed, and then all that knowledge got written down by the Holy Spirit, guiding these men what to write. So all that special knowledge that was needed for the New Testament church was all written down and completed. So do we still need somebody to get up in church and say, "I just got some knowledge from the Lord"? I just got something. The whole church needs this right now, and you know, no, we don't need that anymore. Why? Because all that knowledge has been written down in the books of the New Testament. Okay, let's keep going. like the gift of apostle and prophet, the sign gifts were part of the establishment of the church and the validation of God's word for the church. Hebrews 2:3-4. Let's turn over there. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Who has those verses? Who has it? Okay, that's good. So, what are these verses saying about the sign gifts? God bearing them witness with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. That was needed because that was spoken by the Lord. But now, notice also bearing them witness. Is that needed now? Is that a present-day function? No. Here, the writer of Hebrews is saying that God bore them witness at the time. Notice it's not a present function. He didn't say God bearing us witness. No, he said God bearing them witness. That was a past function for the time that was passing off the scene of the signs and wonders, okay, and diverse miracles. That was needed to authenticate the gospel message. But now it's established. We don't need it anymore. Okay, since the canon is complete, God is not giving any further revelation, thus the need for validation and authentication is nullified. Now, you say, Pastor, why are you preaching on this? We already know this about the sign gifts. Well, number one, it's important to be reminded of from time to time.
Right.
Number two, where is many modern, even fundamental churches, and most evangelical churches, where are they getting their music from these days? What kind of churches are they getting their music from?
From the world.
From the world, okay? And, or what other churches are they getting it from? What types of churches are they getting? What's that?
Charismatic churches.
That's right. They're getting it from the charismatic and Pentecostal churches. And you know what the songs always talk about? One thing. They say, Lord, give us knowledge. Or Lord, give us a revelation. Lord, we come into your presence. We ask that your Holy Spirit be ushered into the room. Like as in you usher someone in, you know. And all these mystical type of things. Why? What is going on? We are actually getting our doctrine now from charismatic Pentecostal churches that still believe in these sign gifts for today, and good churches are wondering, wait, why is our doctrine suddenly going toward the charismatics? Why are we now opening ourselves up to the gifts, the sign gifts? Wait, I thought we had that settled in 1 Corinthians. What's going on to our church? Well, the reason is because they're bringing in all this music, these songs from the charismatics and the Pentecostals that believe these sign gifts are for today. So it's literally changing the whole church, making it more of a frenzy, making it more of a, instead of, you know, basing it upon the Word and having a fundamental church that's staying the same and staying in pure doctrine and all these things. They're wondering why the church is changing and going worldly. Well, it's because you're bringing in Pentecostal charismatic music that's opening up the church to satanic attack. I know we have many Pentecostal brothers and sisters, but not all of them are saved. You know, we can't say, oh, all Pentecostals and charismatics are saved. Their gospel is different. There's a strange gospel in the Pentecostal charismatic church. You know what it says? It says that when you get saved, the way you know you're saved is not by Romans 10:13. Or not by Romans, or not by 1 John 5:12, or not by a verse. You know you get saved in a Pentecostal charismatic church if you speak in tongues. Well, that's not the gospel according to Paul, or according to Jesus. That's not the gospel in the Bible. The gospel in the Bible says we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So I believe our Pentecostal and charismatic, that many of them are slowly just changing the gospel and making it subtly confused. I believe many of them are saved. I'm not saying they're not saved. I believe many of them are saved, but I believe there's many more that are not saved in those churches. And there's so much confusion abounding. And 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, God is not the author of confusion. Okay? And so Baptist churches are wondering, you know why? The people in the pews are wondering, hey, why is our Baptist church changing? Well, it's because you're using Pentecostal charismatic music in your church. And so the doctrines are coming in through the songs, through the lyrics of the songs. They're coming right in along with the musical, the rock style music is changing the churches and taking them away from the Word of God. And so we've got to watch and guard against this because we've got to stay close to the Lord in our doctrine and keep it pure. And we can't follow them because sign gifts are not for today. That's why 1 Corinthians is clearly written for us. They're not for today. They were overemphasized even back in Paul's day. They all wanted to speak in tongues. And he said, no, wait. Those that spoke in tongues and interpreted in tongues, guess what? They were at the bottom of the list for who was in charge in the church anyway. So we see all these principles in 1 Corinthians that helps us understand that's not where the New Testament church is today. All right, the contribution. Any questions about that? Any questions, thoughts, comments about any of what we just talked about? Have you seen that? Have you seen a church that was solid in doctrine, but then when they started bringing in the Pentecostal charismatic songs, they started drifting? Have you seen that? Tell us about it. Yes, Jimmy.
Once when I went to a church, my cousin Chad was interning at, they had like electronic guitars and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like that.
That's good. That's good. That doesn't belong in church. The world's bands and music doesn't belong in church. That's good. Good discernment, Jimmy. Who else? Have you seen that happen? Eric?
Well, some of these churches, I went to one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't like it, though.
Mm-hmm.
They was just speaking the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what happened.
Mhm. Okay. Yeah. All right. Anyone else want to share a comment, question about anything? Have you seen that, Hannah, over the years?
Deceiving. The people, they take the music like worship, a new worship, no? And they are happy, but this is not from God.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It sounds so exciting, energizing, but wait, when we realize this, God didn't give it to us. So who gave it to us? Well, it wasn't God. It was the devil. The devil is bringing it into the churches today. And with that music, they dress down. They treat God lightly. You know, everything changes once you start using that music, the Pentecostal charismatic music. Any other thoughts, comments? Wellington, do you want to say anything? Okay. Have you seen the changes in any churches over the years through the unfortunate use of Pentecostal charismatic music?
Gradually seeping to Baptist churches.
Mm-hmm.
And they are somewhat already present.
Mm-hmm.
It's just under the principles of what it was.
Yeah. Yeah, the Constitution still may say whatever they used to say, but the Constitution's about 20 years behind what the church is actually doing. Mm-hmm. And that's what I just heard this week. Shelton Smith, he said a lot of these places that are changed, the Constitution was 20 years ago. You know, that's what they actually believed 20 years ago. But now they don't follow those same principles of what the church constitution says or the statement of faith. And that's a sad thing. The devil moves in by deceit. All right, let's look at the contribution of spiritual gifts. The functioning of spiritual gifts in a congregation has a twofold purpose, manward and Godward. Manward, the immediate purpose of spiritual gifts is to strengthen and benefit believers. Their objective is to contribute to the health and growth of the body as it is visibly represented in the local congregation. Spiritual gifts contribute to believers in three major areas: the edification, or building up, encouragement, or cheering up, and equipping, or gearing up. So that's a good way to think of it. Building up, cheering up, or gearing up. That's how God wants us to use our spiritual gifts to strengthen the believers in the church. The ministry of edification involves communication of truth and assistance in learning how to assimilate the truth in one's everyday life. The word edify comes from an architectural term meaning to build up, as one would build a building upon a foundation. Paul taught that the only foundation that can be laid is that of Jesus Christ. Therefore, the need for one who has come to Christ is to build upon that foundation. This is commonly referred to as the ministry of discipleship. We had done a series on discipleship on Sunday nights of how we can disciple our newer brothers and sisters in the faith. And that's an important part of the church, is to edify the disciples. Discipleship also involves the ministry of equipping. As believers function together in the work of the ministry, the gifts contribute to that equipping. Evangelists equip believers for the work of the witnessing. Pastors equip for the ministry of discipleship. Those with the gift of giving equip others for the ministry of consistent and proportionate giving. Those who encourage and show mercy help equip believers for such involvement in the lives of people who are hurting. Those with the gifts of leadership and managing equip believers for the business of simply living and working together for the glory of God and moving ahead to the accomplishment of His mission. Those with the gifts of serving and helps enable believers to learn how to function for the glory of God and the good of others, regardless of whether anyone else notices. They communicate the principles of the servant's heart and so equip all God's people to be effective. So you see how each gift teaches something? You know, each one of us have one of these gifts, and so we all help teach the other parts of the body about that, those areas of, okay, this is how to use your gift, and this is why to use your gift, and this is, and so we all have our function to help teach the rest of the church and to edify it. Thus, spiritual gifts do not immediately function to the benefit of those who are unsaved. The gift of evangelists will benefit the unsaved in that those with the gift witness to the unsaved as they seek to train other believers in the ministry of witnessing. However, the unity and harmony resulting from the spiritual operation of gifted individuals is to impact the unsaved as they witness obedience to Christ's command. Okay, so finally, as we wrap up this lesson, the mutual exercise of spiritual gifts ultimately contributes to the glory of God, which Paul indicated should be our chief concern. He commended the believers at Corinth to concern themselves with God's glory, even in the mundane routines of life like eating and drinking. 1 Corinthians 10:31, who can quote that one for us? Whether therefore... Good. Okay, so even in the mundane routines of life, we still need to glorify God, right? Eating, drinking, praying before you eat. You know, that's a way you can use the meal to glorify God. Pray before you eat. Give it to the Lord. Ask Him to bless it. And so everything we do, we are to do for His glory. Peter wrote that the ministry of speaking gifts and serving gifts are to benefit the recipients, but the ultimate concern is that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 4:11. Remembering that glorifying God means to be a good steward of His reputation. It is important to note that when the functioning of gifts contributes to the glory of God, they do so not only in the eyes of believers, but also in the eyes of unbelievers. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Matthew 5:16. The implication is that the functioning of believers in the church and the testimony they exhibit to the world are means by which those in the world form a proper opinion of God. It is a sobering thought to consider what believers and churches are teaching the world about God when they ignore their responsibility to glorify Him. Yeah, what do you think the unsaved world thinks of when their neighbor who says they're a Christian doesn't go to church on Sunday? What are they communicating to their unsaved neighbors? Yeah, and God's not important. Hey, if you become a Christian, don't worry, God's not important. You know, we lose our testimony if we do things like that. And unsaved people know how Christians ought to act. They do. You know, if we say we're a Christian, we better follow it up, because they're watching us.
That's right. Some of them, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Keep on keeping on.
You know, it's not going to be an overnight process that they get saved tomorrow or today, but keep on working on them, and the Lord will use you. And He'll use your words. Every little bit of the Bible you can give to them, a gospel message, will continue to do its work. The Word of God is not bound, and the Word of God does not return what?
Void.
Void. But accomplishes it, the purpose wherewith it is sent. Okay, so the gifts and service opportunities that we looked at here, let us use the gift and service opportunities that we have for God's glory and honor, and we can... Okay, yes, so we are out of time, so we are going to close in 3 minutes, but let's... So let's look back over the gifts here, okay? We have teaching. We have exhortation. That's encouragement or rebuke. Then we have pastors, evangelists, then we have ministry or ministering, service, then we have giving, we have ruling, helps is the, what's the difference between ruling and helps? Ruling is like the manager in charge. Helps is the come alongside and assist the pastor in different helps and things. And they both overlap in many ways. Then you have the gift of mercy, love and care. And then you have governments. Okay, that's the governments. That's the order. The order of who's in charge in the church. So, and then we have, of course, prophecy, speaking, which is preaching. Preaching. Okay. All right, so there's our listing. Helps remind us of our important function. We are somewhere in that, and we have an important function to God. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to look into your word this morning. We thank you that you've laid out clearly the function of your local church and how each member is to use his or her gift to edify the believers, Lord. We know that all of us as believers need edification and building on the foundation of our salvation, which is Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray you'd help us to edify one another and continue to teach and guide and direct each other into a closer walk with you through how we use our gift. Lord, help us not to use it in the flesh and to damage and hurt the testimony of Jesus Christ, but help us to use our gift in the Spirit so that we may better serve one another and most importantly, glorify and honor you through all that is said and done in our lives. Pray, bless now this morning worship service to follow. Bless Brother Daniel as he preaches to us. And bless the luncheon to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, Eric, we're going to get the ladder.
Yeah.
Change the light bulb real quick.
Oh, okay. All right.